Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
There's a time and a place for filet-o-fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Have you ever felt a presence, a force you couldn't see but you knew was there? A sensation that crawls under your skin as if someone or something was watching you, following your every move. And for two sisters, that feeling wasn't a passing fear but a growing, suffocating reality. And for the paranormal investigators who answered their call, what began as a routine investigation soon spiraled into something far darker, something that followed them home. But what if these entities, these forces, aren't just figments of our imagination? What if they're real? And what if they don't just vanish when we turn out the lights? In this chilling account, one investigator's life is changed forever, caught between the supernatural and the psychological. Was it fear or something far more dangerous that gripped him? Were the things he saw and felt truly paranormal, or was it something else lurking in the shadows? Let's get to the letter they write. Dear Tony, I never expected anything like this to happen. In fact, when I first got the call from Sherry, I had no idea what I was about to walk into. She was emotional, almost frantic, as she described the strange occurrences in the house she and her sister Niecy had just moved into. I had heard similar stories before, but something about her voice, how desperate and shaken she sounded, made it different. She said she could feel something touching her, something unseen grabbing her in places that were inappropriate and pulling her hair. As a sensitive, I knew something wasn't right. When we arranged to meet in person, I suggested we meet at a public place first, just to be cautious. It's not unusual for people to be nervous about having strangers come into their homes to investigate, but I could tell there was something more to this. When they told me what had been happening, I knew we couldn't waste time. The rental agent, however, turned out to be a problem. I tried to get more information from her about the house, hoping to understand its history, but she was absolutely unhelpful. She was a skeptic, convinced we were trying to manipulate the two young women. She even accused us of devaluing the property on purpose, trying to buy it at a low price. She refused to provide any details about the house's past and threatened to call the police if we contacted her again. So with no more answers from her, we were left to move forward based on what we could feel. Originally, our team was meant to conduct the investigation together, but something went wrong. Liza, our researcher, and her husband, Wynand, suddenly became unreachable. It was strange, as they had always been reliable, never missing an investigation before. We later learned that Liza had been rushed to the hospital, but she was okay. No one knew what had caused the incident. Still, it was unsettling. With the team down by two members, we debated canceling the investigation altogether. But Nate was eager to go ahead, and I felt a deep, unsettling gut feeling that we should have listened to it and called it off. I didn't, and that would turn out to be one of our biggest mistakes. We arrived at the house just before sunset. I could feel the weight of the air as soon as we stepped out of the car. It was thick, almost suffocating. There was something about the place that made my skin crawl, but I didn't want to alarm Nate. He was excited, as usual, but his mood shifted quickly. He seemed to sink into something darker, something I couldn't explain. When we entered, the house was unnervingly silent. The rooms felt wrong. I couldn't put my finger on it, but there was an overwhelming sense of gloom hanging in the air. It was the kind of sensation you get when you know you're being watched but can't see the eyes on you. During our preliminary sweep of the house, Nate's attitude seemed to change too. He became withdrawn, his energy shifting from eager to dark, like the life was slowly draining from him. I tried to ask him what was wrong, but he brushed it off, claiming it was just a bit of tiredness from the drive. Nate insisted we separate to do our individual EVP sessions in different rooms. He said it would be more effective, but part of me felt it was a mistake. I wanted to stay together to keep a sense of safety, but against my better judgment, I agreed. I took the room Sherry had used while Nate went into Nikki's room. It was odd, too, because I could feel something in the room even before I set up my equipment, an energy that had shifted the moment we stepped inside. It didn't take long for me to start my EVP session. I sat there trying to calm my nerves and focus, but every creak of the floorboards or rustling in the air made me jump. I had been in plenty of houses like this before, but something about this place, it was like it was alive, breathing, waiting. 20 minutes into the session, I was getting a little lost in the process when the door to the room suddenly burst open. I jumped to my feet, my heart pounding in my chest. Standing in the doorway was Nate, pale as a ghost. He was sweating, his face a mixture of fear and confusion. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. He looked broken. When I asked him what had happened, he just shook his head, not speaking, his eyes wide in terror. All he said was, "I need to leave. We have to go." I packed up my equipment, my hands shaking now too, and followed him down the hall to the living room. He barely spoke the entire way, his mind clearly racing. He was already packing up our things when I caught up to him. His movements were erratic, like he was trying to get out of the house as quickly as possible. I asked him again what had happened in that room, but he just kept saying he didn't want to talk about it, that he needed to go home. We left without finishing the investigation, without even a real explanation from him. The drive back was tense. I could feel the weight of something in the air, like a dark cloud that had followed us. When I dropped Nate off, he seemed almost in a daze. I didn't hear from him again for over a week. I didn't push him, but I couldn't shake the feeling that something had happened in that house, something he couldn't or didn't want to explain. The next day, I returned the keys to Sherry and Nikki, who called to thank us, saying that whatever we did had helped. Their house felt lighter and the strange occurrences had stopped. I didn't tell them what had really happened in the house, how we barely made it out ourselves. They didn't need to know. I was just happy that they felt better, that they could finally live in peace, but I wasn't prepared for what happened next. It was a week later when Nate called me out of the blue asking if I could come over. He sounded strange, tired, almost haunted. When I arrived, I could sense it the moment I walked through the door. The same feeling I had when I first entered the sister's house. The oppressive weight in the air, the unease crawling under my skin. It hit me immediately, and I knew something had attached itself to him. I didn't waste time. We went outside, away from the house, and that's when Nate finally told me what had happened in Nikki's room. I had a gut feeling I wasn't going to like it, but I had to hear it. He told me that when he first started his EVP session, everything seemed normal. It was dark, as it always is during these investigations, but he was used to it. Then, 5 minutes in, he felt it, something cold, an invisible hand grabbing his shoulder. His blood ran cold, and for a moment he froze. But what shocked him even more was the voice, his son's voice, clear as day, whispering, "Daddy." He turned around, expecting to see his son standing there, but the room was empty. The furniture was still visible, but everything had a strange, shadowed outline. That's when it happened, when the world went black. Nate described it as if someone had ripped away his vision. It wasn't like the lights were turned off. It was as though he had gone completely blind. He couldn't see anything. Nothing. Just an all-consuming darkness. He said he felt like he was falling, like he was being pulled into the abyss. The feeling of the hand on his shoulder never stopped. It felt real, too real. The longer he stood there trying to fight off the panic, the stronger the grip became, and with it, the pressure of the darkness surrounding him. He tried to call out to me, but his voice seemed to vanish, swallowed up by the silence that had taken over the room. He described screaming, but it was like his voice was muffled by some unseen force. And then, nothing. He woke up on the floor, disoriented, his mind racing. The terror of that moment still lingered in his eyes as he spoke, as though he had been in another world, unable to escape it. He ran out of the room, desperate to find me. But by the time he reached the living room, he said it was as if the entire house had changed. The air felt different, heavy, thick, his mood too. What had started as a thrilling investigation had turned into a nightmare. The weeks that followed were an absolute blur for Nate. His family began to experience things they couldn't explain. The houseplants, which had been thriving before, withered and died almost overnight. It was as if they had been drained of life. The microwave caught fire while they were all asleep, completely destroying it. Nate's young son started having horrific nightmares, screaming in his sleep, waking up drenched in sweat, terrified of something that wasn't there. But it didn't stop there. Nate's wife had a much more personal encounter. One morning, while she was in the shower, she felt a strange, unmistakable sensation. Hands groping her, pulling at her in ways that didn't make sense. Bruises appeared on her body, specifically on her breasts, marks that she couldn't explain. This was more than just creepy. It was violating. Nate was terrified for his family. He made the decision to ask his wife to leave the house and stay with her parents. It wasn't safe for her. Not with whatever was haunting them. It didn't help. Nothing helped. Nate tried multiple cleansings, each one more desperate than the last, but the entity clung to him, to his family. It was as if it had latched on and refused to let go. He was at his wit's end. As a Christian, Nate turned to his faith for help. I suggested he reach out to his priest, hoping that a blessing might provide the spiritual protection he needed. But Nate, now deeply fearful, refused to sleep in the house after the experience. He feared that whatever was attached to him would follow him back into the house if he stayed. Instead, he slept in his car, parked outside, unable to find peace. The priest arrived the next day and performed a blessing, but even then, Nate wasn't sure it would work. He felt like he was living in a haunted nightmare with no way to escape it. But for the first time since the investigation, something changed. The activity stopped, his wife returned, and although the house felt quieter, Nate was never the same. The haunting seemed to dissipate, but the trauma it left behind was undeniable. Nate made the decision to step away from paranormal investigations altogether. His family was safe, but the toll on him was too great. The team, too, began to fall apart. Liza and Wynan, still recovering from their own personal issues, chose to leave. The experience had shaken us all. As for me, I'm still uncertain. I haven't started a new team, nor have I gone back into paranormal investigations. I still don't know if I'll ever be able to face that kind of darkness again. What really happened in that house? Was it truly paranormal, or was something else, something deeper at play? It's a question I still can't answer. And maybe it's one I'm better off not knowing. What we've just heard is more than just a tale of a haunted house. It's a glimpse into the darkness that can attach itself to a person and the frightening way those experiences can bleed into every aspect of life. The events that took place in that house and what followed afterward are beyond the usual scope of the paranormal. But the truth, as we know, is often murkier than it seems. On one hand, you could say that this was simply a case of a terrifying haunting, an entity that that latched onto a vulnerable family, feeding off their fear, creating chaos in their lives. It fits the classic ghost story. But what if there's more to it? Could this have been a psychological breakdown, a series of events exacerbated by fear, paranoia, and emotional strain? The fact that the haunting seemed to follow Nate home, and the disturbing incidents that transpired afterward, might suggest something deeper at play, a psychological phenomenon where belief itself can manifest into something terrifying. In these cases, the mind has a powerful role. Could the fear, anxiety, and emotional strain Nate experienced have triggered a psychological response that felt just as real as any ghostly apparition? But let's not dismiss the paranormal entirely. The EVP session Nate conducted, the sensation of being grabbed, the shadowed figures, and the overwhelming darkness he felt, all of these are hallmarks of classic paranormal activity. And while we can speculate on the psychological causes, the experiences shared in this story don't quite fit the mold of a simple mental health issue. There's an undeniable presence here, something that went far beyond the natural world, something that followed Nate and his family long after they left that house. Whether it was a malevolent entity or a manifestation of collective fear, it remains unsettling and unanswered. This case raises an important question: how much of what we experience is rooted in reality, and how much is shaped by our perceptions and fears? Is it possible that the mind can create or amplify experiences so vivid and terrifying that they feel as real as any tangible danger? And what happens when a person becomes so entwined with the fear that they can no longer tell the difference between what is real and what is imagined? The haunting may have stopped in that house, but the aftermath, both physical and psychological, lingers. For Nate, his decision to step away from investigations isn't just about safety. It's about the toll that kind of fear takes on the soul. And for those who investigate the paranormal, the line between reality and the supernatural can sometimes be terrifyingly thin. It's a story that makes us wonder, how much are we really seeing and how much are we willing to believe? Thank you for joining us. Until next time, stay vigilant and keep questioning what lies in the shadows.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're hearing from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.